You're tuned in to 8:30 a.m. KSDP. This is in Sandpoint, Alaska and King Cove, Alaska. Good morning today. We have two very awesome guests in our studio right now. We have two people who have been traveling all throughout the Aleutians for the last couple months, and one of them who's been traveling across the entire world. We have Justine and Sarah in the studio today. Hello, guys. How are you doing today?
Hi, we're doing good, thanks.
Yeah, it's a happy day.
Good. Yes, we're very happy. Everyone's so excited to have you guys here. So just to get things going, tell us a little bit about what your trip is about.
So this journey is part of an overall journey for me called London to London via the World, in which I'm traveling from London to London via the world. So around the world, trying
makes sense.
To use just a rowing boat, a kayak and a bicycle to make that journey. I started in 2011 from London, and out here in Sandpoint marks kind of well over 1,000 miles over the halfway line.
Wow.
And the journey that Justine and I have been making together over the last sort of 2.5 months is that we've kayaked all the way from Adak, way out west, right up as far as here, and we're heading up the peninsula to Homer, to the nearest road so that I can get on the bike and cycle eastwards.
Okay, so you're going to bike from Homer, and where's the final destination for that bike journey?
I need to get right across to the East Coast, so certainly New York and even perhaps Nova Scotia, Canada. I haven't decided quite where I'll row from next, so I'll cross the country, both countries, Canada and the States, and then I'll row back home across the Atlantic to get back to, back home, to complete that full loop.
So you'll land in England from wherever you leave on the East Coast?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And then make my way back to London using the bike, the kayak, and the rowing boat as well.
Okay. I had a specific question given to me. They want to know, how do you plan for the next leg? So right now you're in kayaks, and you started that in Adak. Now, where's your rowing boat? Where's your bicycle today? Do you mail them ahead? Do you carry them with you? What's the deal there?
Well, I'd love to say that I'm hardcore enough to tow the rowing boat behind us in the kayaks, or keep the bike in the back of the kayak, something like that. But it is quite a logistical feat to make sure that all the bits of kit are in the right place at the right time. So at the moment, my bike Hercules, he is in Anchorage waiting patiently. And so I'll get up to Anchorage and bring him back down to Homer, ready to start cycling. The rowing boat at the moment, Happy Socks, she's back home in the UK, ready to have some work done over the winter, and she'll come out to wherever I start from in early next year. And likewise, once we get to Homer and then get everything up to Anchorage, all the kit up to Anchorage, we'll send the kayaks back home from there so that they're back in the,
okay.
In the UK.
And Justine, we were explaining that you're the queen of sea kayaking. The official or unofficial, whichever you prefer, the queen of sea kayaking. And so you've been going with her throughout all the kayaking legs of the trips. What portions were kayaking and which one, of the many different legs, which ones were the kayaking legs?
Well, that was Sarah's words, that I was the queen of sea kayaking. I prefer princess.
Princess?
She's the princess time.
So Sarah's whole trip started with a kayaking leg from London to France. And she started under Tower Bridge, which is quite an iconic feature in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Loads of people there. And so we kayaked down the River Thames and then across the English Channel, which is the world's busiest shipping lane to France.
Oh my gosh.
And we ended up doing that at night because the weather was about to close in on us and we wouldn't be able to do it for a few days. So that was quite an interesting start. And we hadn't had a lot of sleep on the entire kayaking leg because we'd been doing it with the tide. So we'd had six hours of paddling, and then we tried to grab a few hours sleep before then paddling again. So
Wow.
We were both hallucinating on the crossing across to France and seeing all sorts of weird and wonderful things. So it was quite a momentous way to start the trip. And then Sarah cycled all the way across Europe, Asia, and to Russia. And then we kayaked from Russia to Japan via the Russian island of Sakhalin. And the first crossing was meant to be quite an easy, gentle sort of 7-kilometer crossing. But Sarah's bike's bearings went a little bit early, and so we ended up a bit further down the coast. So we got in the kayaks a bit early, and we ended up doing a 50-kilometer crossing.
Oh, wow.
A little bit further down, so that was a bit of a wham, bam, straight back into it. And then we paddled down the coast of Sakhalin a bit, and then we did a what ended up being a 40-mile crossing to Japan. It's actually about 25 miles, but because of the logistics of where we had to be stamped out of the country, this, that and the other, and we may have broken a few laws and gone back into Russian waters when we weren't meant to. But being very well behaved here. And then we did one more crossing in Japan between the two islands. And then that was it. That was the end of my part in Sarah's big adventure, until she was trying to row from Japan to Vancouver. And the second time round, the winds weren't really playing game and the currents, and she was going round in circles for about a month.
Oh my
but
gosh.
She was kind of getting taken closer to the Aleutian Islands, which is somewhere that I've always really wanted to come and paddle. I love wild, remote places with amazing wildlife and a few but interesting people. So I was...
that sounds like the illusion.
Yeah, so exactly. And even strong currents and winds, I like that thing in a perverse sort of way. So I was phoning Sarah and saying, hey, Sarah, great decision. I see you're heading north to the Aleutians. Fantastic. I'll meet you there with the kayaks and we'll kayak the chain. And so she replied and said, well, no, you know, I'd love to go to the Aleutians with you one day. But, you know, right now I'm heading for Vancouver. Not going to happen. And then about a month later, I had a phone call from Sarah going, you know, the Aleutians. Did you mean it? Would you really kayak that with me? Because I think she realized that she was, I think, 4 months into the trip. She wasn't even halfway to Vancouver.
Oh, man.
And she was likely to get hit by some big storms if she carried on aiming for Vancouver, because it would be winter by the time she got there. And she might tell you she's already had an experience with a big storm and didn't really want to repeat that. So Adak, I think, was only about 600 nautical miles away. And so that was the plan. She changed and went for Adak. And I think it was another month before she reached Adak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm happy to be here. This is great for me. Love the Aleutians, amazing wildlife, and the Alaskan Peninsula. Yeah, just really, really feels like a very special place to have the chance to kind of explore our way through slowly.
It is, yeah. That's so cool that you guys had the opportunity to come here and that worked out that way. That is, you know, when you think about, like, how far we are from Vancouver, like, already, you know, and that you're going to row all that. And what you said about the, you know, being pushed around, going in circles, I'm burning with questions, but one of them I have is, you know, you must be really at the whim of the weather, like, where your direction goes, because I imagine with a rowing boat, you know, you're not going to be able to buck against a huge tide very easily, or if you got hit by a big storm, you're not going to be able to really just plow through it. How did you stay on course? How, you know, what was the goal there?
Well, I didn't stay on course very well. That's the tricky thing.
Yeah.
I think the key with the rowing boat is that when the weather is good and the conditions allow you to make progress towards your destination, you go flat out to do that as much as possible. And then when they're not, you have to, first of all, keep yourself safe, but also sort of just try and reduce the collateral damage, really. So if a storm is coming that's going to push you back in the wrong direction, then you have to put out a sea anchor, big parachute,
okay,
that goes under the water that slows you down. It just kind of increases the drag, slows you down a little bit. So hopefully you don't drift backwards quite so quickly. And that has another role in just stabilizing the boat as well. So hopefully you're not going to capsize too many times.
Okay.
But I did spend a lot of time rowing, like re-rowing ground that I'd already covered, and I'd just, you know, been pulled backwards by currents or pushed backwards by storms. So it's not an efficient way to travel, but it is a very cool way. You definitely get to really feel what's going on around you, kind of just living with the boom and bust of the nature and the daily rhythms of things, which is really exciting and rather unique, I would say.
Yeah, it sounds very unique.
It's similar in the kayaks to some extent. I mean, we can come ashore at night. We camp every night in the kayaks,
okay,
whereas, you know, Sarah's out in the ocean. She can't get away from a storm. So we have weather forecasts and we try to avoid being on the water in stormy weather. So if the wind's going to be against us, we might camp up for a day or two and wait for the bad weather to pass. And then if we get good weather for a few days, then we want to make the most of it as well. And we might paddle really long days, not sleep as much as we might like, and hope that we get to, you know, eventually you're hoping for a bad weather day so that you can have a bit of rest. So it's a bit different, but it's a similar principle. You're trying to work with the conditions, not against them. If it's really rough, we're not out there battling 10-foot tidal rips and, you know, pounding away into big, big, strong winds. We want to try to rest up in those conditions and be ready and fit and strong for the better conditions.
Yeah. So that leads me into the next question about just physical maintenance of your body from such an arduous journey. You know, that's something that I was wondering about. I got to have this question answered. You carried all your food with you that you had on that Pacific journey. Mm-hmm. You were able to store enough food in that little area. How can you explain the equipment that you guys have used, the kayaks with Justine, and then for the rowing? Can you explain what that boat looked like?
Yeah, so for the rowing boat, if you picture a dory, so a traditional dory, that's the hull of the boat. And then it's almost just got two cabins stuck on top. Now, don't go getting any kind of big fancy images of a nice spacious cruiser or anything, because it is
no
quite tiny.
No shuffleboard in there or anything?
No, it is quite tiny still. It's 21 feet long and probably 6 feet wide at the widest point in the middle. But those little cabins at either end, there's one for storage and one for sleeping. And I always liken that to sitting underneath the kitchen table. You know, if I sit up in there,